So last time we were together, we looked at pneumatology, which Sam's going to remind us. What was pneumatology all about? That's right. Study of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to go to Jeremy for this one because Jeremy's not going to figure it out. Now we're going to move on to Christology. And Christology is all about what, Jeremy? Yeah. Good job. The study of Christ. All right. He had to take a bite for some thought about this. So as we jump into this one, we'll talk about some different things. It'll take us a couple weeks to go through the different layers of this. I'm gonna need Jeremy's help though. Who else? Maddie is in my Bible class. Who else is in my Bible class currently? Like they've just Khalees. Yep. And all three of you guys. So like you three guys right there. So if you guys don't know Nazaeth, Josh, and Albert. Okay. Yeah, they are. You guys should recognize some of this stuff on the screen, like the concepts. So, that's true. Josh is in your class, but Nazaeth and Albert are in mine. So, when we talk about Christ, let's understand that when we say Christ, what is the word Christ? Let's define some terms. What's Christ? The word Christ. It's not equivalent to Jesus. It is a title. All right, Rebecca, what's the title? All right, it's the Messiah. What's the connection? Do you know the connection between Christ and Messiah? All right, Iris? Christ means the anointed one. Excellent. And we got Christ, Messiah, and anointed one. Okay, so I know at least there are three people in the room that can identify how those are interconnected and how they're related, I should say. All right. All right, Blake is questioning himself and looking at his phone. Zedekiah, what is it? Good. So Christ is the Greek title that means anointed one. Messiah is the Hebrew title that means anointed one. So Christ and Messiah, two words that mean the exact same thing in two different languages. So that's kind of how that works. So that's the name Christ, okay? Well, that's not his only name. What's the other name of this person? Ben said it earlier. What's his name? Jesus. Now, what's Jesus mean? If only someone knew the answer. Too late. All right. The Lord is salvation. Now, that's the definition. And just like Christ and Messiah, there is an Old Testament equivalent. What's the Old Testament equivalent to Jesus? Not by person, but by name. Okay, you have to understand Jesus the Christ is not the only Jesus in the New Testament. There would have been other Jesuses. Okay, not in who the person is, but in the name usage. All right, just like there are multiple Simons, multiple Peters. Okay, it wasn't the name exclusively for him. Now, Christ is exclusive for him, but Jesus is not. So what's the Old Testament equivalent? Blake, you question yourself so much. Say it with confidence. Joshua. Okay. So Joshua, it to the Hebrew. All right. You know, Cameron is your big brother. Maybe you could just step in and solve the problem. You know, you're a college freshman now. Ben's not that big. He came back for the weekend. When you finish, I will give you a period of grace as well. All right. That's right, if he finishes high school. All right. So we've got Jesus, we've got Christ, and then we also, in the New Testament, there's another title that you see with Jesus frequently. What's that other title you see with Jesus? You see Jesus the Christ, Jesus the... Okay, Son of God is one, not the one I was thinking of. Son of Man would be another one, also not the one I was thinking of. Usually it comes before his name, the blank Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, what's that word? And we'll talk about Son of Man, Son of God in just a second. What does Lord mean? No, Lord does not mean Jehovah. No, Yahweh means Yahweh. So Yahweh in your Bible is always capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Yahweh. But we're talking about the usage of the word L-O-R-D. Capitalization, irrelevant. Okay, ruler, master, lord. It's sir. Okay, so there would have been other individuals who were referenced as lord. Okay, we don't really use that word at all today. You could probably think of medieval era, like, you know, yes, my lord. Okay, just master. That's what it is. It's a leader. All right, you're back on Romeo and Juliet. At least you're paying attention in school. All right. So, those are some names. Now let's talk about this. We have two essential elements. Two essential elements. What's the word essential mean? Let's not assume we all know it.
Necessary.
Yeah, two necessary aspects of the doctrine of Christ are this. Okay, so when we're going to talk about Jesus, here are the two things you need to, that we have to be able to recognize and identify, and really we have to be able to articulate a defense for them. And that is His eternality and His deity. What does eternality mean?
Eternal.
Great, He's eternal. What does eternal mean? Rebecca? Okay. Lasts forever. I'm not completely against lasts forever. I think we could probably be a little more clear in it, though. Yes, Zedekiah? Yeah, so it's past, present, and future, because lasts forever, I mean, at least in my brain, kind of has like, it was created, you know, this podium was built to last forever, okay? The stench of a middle schooler will last forever. You know, like, it kind of has a starting point with no ending. Whereas eternality is the indefinite in both directions, if you will. All right? And His deity. What is deity?
Holiness,
I could see... Higher being. What word could you... His what?
Godliness.
Okay. You're on the right track. So, you could swap in the word for His nature of being a God. Or being God. Alright. So, that's kind of the two things we... When we talk about Christ, here are the two things we have to be able to put together. Is that He's always been, always is, always will be. And He is... Always is, has been, will be God. We have to be able to connect those two ideas. Because they're linked so closely together that if you deny the fact that Jesus has not always existed, then you're saying He is not God. If you're saying that He is not God, then you're saying that He has not always existed. Because that's how interwoven these two are. And this is kind of a current issue. Those of you that have been under my teaching for any length of time, you've seen... some maps that I'll use, and often they'll have arrows or lines on them that kind of show movements of things. But those maps that I use are from a book called A Satellite Bible Atlas, which was put together by a professor, theologian. His name was Bill Schlegel. This guy actually lives, he's an American who now lives in Israel, and he, through his time of studying and through his dealing with certain things, he has denied the deity of Christ. That he has basically said that Jesus was not God, he was just a man that God used to do certain things. So this is something that is still a struggle, because the world around you has to identify that there is a Christ, right? There is a Jesus. We use that name interchangeably, whether he's Jesus or Christ. But they have to acknowledge that there is a Jesus. Okay? Only morons would say there is no historical figure known as a Jesus. All right? Why? What would you say is the reason? Why do you have to recognize that there is, at least at some point in time, circa first century, there was a man named Jesus who was very critical into ancient history? Why would you? What would you say is the defense as to why he exists? Robbie? Okay, written record. I would absolutely agree with you. I'd add something to it, but you're on the right path, and you kind of clued us into a little bit of it. Blake, what would you say? Okay, so you're saying that based upon what the biblical record presents lines up with historical record outside of the Bible. Okay. What would you say as to why? If someone said Jesus never existed, what would you say?
Yes, he did.
All right. Well, once you get past that, what's your reasoning for saying why he did? Nathaniel? Okay. You've got this massive time shift of B.C. and A.D. or B.C.E. or A.C.E. The new ones are B.C.E. and A.C.E. B.C. is before Christ. A.D. is Anno Domini. Oh, before Common Era and after Common Era. Oh, this, you're right. It's B.C.E. and C.E. Sorry. Yep. I did teach you wrong. Good thing I didn't test you over that. All right. Go ahead, stick that one, Jeremy, stick that one in the back of your brain for some future day. Like, hey, remember that one time you were wrong? All right. All right, I'll take it. Hey, Sam, you want to know what my count is for you? Yeah. It takes the Google Cloud storage. That's how big it is. All right. So, let's go back to Robbie's point. All right. Robbie, what was your statement as to how you would argue that Jesus was a historical figure? Okay. So, where do you go to get your information about who Jesus was, whether or not he existed? The Bible. What is the Bible? God's holy word. Okay. What if you were to look up a definition of what is the Bible? Okay.
The Bible is a basic instruction before leaving Earth.
Wow. All right, Sam. Who uses the Bible? Do they? All right. So, Christianity uses the Bible. And therefore articulates there is a historical figure named Jesus. Robbie mentioned there's another group of people who have written record of this historical figure named Jesus. Who was the other group of people? Robbie, who was the other group of people you mentioned? Outside of Christians, you said there were... I heard it. The Hebrews, the Jews. All right. Judaism. And then I just heard another one. There was another religion thrown out. Muslims. All right. What is significant about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam? Not only do they all contain someone named Jesus, but what else? Yeah, they disagree, but what are they? What do they comprise? Nazareth? Okay, all monotheistic. But they're also... Rebecca? Okay, they do have... to an extent, they might have similar morals. I think when you get to the jihad in the Quran, you kind of go off track a bit. No, jihad is the holy war that they engage in against infidels. Alright. To an extent. So, let me finish my point and I'll answer your question. The three largest religions in the world, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, all three of them identify that Jesus is a historical figure. Now, who he is within that religion differs, but they all identify that he is a historical figure. Okay? So, on that note, Sam wants to know, do we worship the same God as a Jew? I would say yes, we do. Hold on. Answer this question. If I were to go to any synagogue in the United States, or I were to go over to Israel, and I were to ask an Israeli, what is the name of your God? What name will they give me? They will give me Yahweh, because that is his name. Who is the Father that we call God the Father of Christ? Yahweh. So, to an extent, it... Now, listen. Let me clarify. to an extent, we do worship the same God. The problem is that they have not identified, either through open-handed rejection or through misinformation or a lack of Holy Spirit conviction, they have rejected God's Son. So, do we worship or do we claim to worship the same God? I would say the answer is yes. Are they saved? The answer would be no. Right, Sam, that's why I would say they're not saved. Okay? Jews, and there are some that would they would struggle with it greatly. Okay? But I would not say that Jewish individuals, okay, who worship Yahweh, who go to their synagogue, who do all that the Torah says, I will not say that they are going to be in heaven when they die. Why? Because the rest of the Bible that they do not acknowledge says that that happens only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And they don't believe that. So what they've rejected the rest of the revelation. They adhere to the first part. Does that make sense? Through faith. Right. So the object in the Old Testament is it is salvation through faith that this promise is coming. Right. But they're looking for the promise to come, meaning they've rejected the one that did come. Right? Okay, so that's kind of the difference. Now, that does not mean that they cannot be saved. It's not like you've rejected Christ because you're Jewish and you are a member of a synagogue. But that does have to necessarily, I mean, that's got to change. Now, there are those who would be, I've heard them called Messianic Jews. I've heard them called completed Jews, but those would be people who were either Jewish in religion, who do believe that Christ is the Messiah, that they still somewhat practice Judaism, but they practice their Judaism through a lens that Christ is the Messiah. Yeah, it's more the tradition side of things. All right, so the question we want to ask ourselves is, if this eternality, and we won't really get into any of this, is if this eternality and if this deity, does Scripture claim that he is? Because if you disbelieve one, then you disbelieve the other because they are so closely connected. So let's go to John chapter 1, all right? If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, shame on you. You're at church. All right, go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Alright, believe it or not, it requires very little talking to open up a Bible. So go to John chapter 1. I'm opening up John chapter 1 as well, because I want to look at something else. Alright, John chapter 1. Jeremy, why don't you read that for us? All right, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so a couple things that I want to kind of point out here. Number one, when it says in the beginning, what do you think John's referring to? All right, creation. You should immediately be taken back to before God begins the creative process of Genesis chapter 1. So in the beginning, there was the Word, okay? At this point in time, do you know who the Word is? I mean, John's not revealed it in his writing yet. Okay, if you're looking at your Bible, you can see the W is capitalized. Okay, but we read on that in the beginning there was the Word. And that Word was with God, so the Word accompanied God. And that Word was on the same level, or was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now if you skip down to verse 14, we're introduced to a little bit more about who that Word is. And that Word verse 14, and that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we find out in verse 14 that who John categorizes as the Word in verse 1 is who? Who is the Word of verse 1 now that we've looked at verse 14? All right, it's Christ. It's Jesus. At least according to John. Now, let's go back to verse 1, and there's a couple little things I kind of want to point out here. So I have on the screen the word was, okay? Do you guys understand what an imperfect verb is? What's an imperfect verb? Nope. So I'll throw this out while some of you might want to like Google the answer of what's an imperfect verb. I'll let you speak in a sec, Zedekiah. So let me encourage you, like how most of you do not because it's school. Let me encourage you, when it comes to grammar and literature, I know they're not your favorites, okay? Hold on. When it comes to those two subjects, the more you can learn specifically about grammar, about how words work together, it becomes immensely helpful when you start studying God's Word. Okay, it's grammar and it's literature. I know it's not necessarily fun in school. If you've got to, you know, read some Shakespeare because, you know, Romeo and Juliet. All right. Or you're going to read some Beowulf, or maybe it does get a little exciting with some Edgar Allan Poe. But when it comes to understanding, remember, God left his revelation to us through words. So we need to kind of understand how words work together. All right. So Zedekiah, what's an imperfect verb? Okay, it describes action that was happening in the past, but it's not just that. Okay, so Blake says it. Did you look it up? It is past continuous. So, here's the idea. If I said, Cameron plays baseball. If I said, Cameron threw the ball, all right, what tense of is the verb threw? It's past. Did Cameron throw the ball? Yes. Is Cameron still throwing the ball? No. It was a past tense action that is now completed. That's past tense. Imperfect would be more along the lines of like Cameron throws the ball. Okay? When we read the word was, yes. Cameron was throwing. Yeah, imperfect is the two. All right. I don't have that. I don't have my analogy. I have the ego I mean. Ready, but so we see the word was, okay. I know you guys are in high school, but I want to point something out to you because for the most part, we don't pay attention to this. All right. In John chapter 1, you're looking at it. We have this word was as the Greek word eimi. Okay, what does that mean, I mean? I don't know. No one knows, do we? I know. So, it is a first-person singular, present indicative, all that fun stuff, okay? A prolonged form of primary and defective verb. What's it mean? It means to be. It means to exist, to happen, to be present. Now, let me give you where this word shows up. You want to know another way this word gets translated of was? It gets translated in several places in John as I am. Now, when you hear the English words I am related to the Bible, your mind should immediately run to one location in history. Moses at the burning bush, when he wants to know, who do I say sent me? He says, I am. That's it. What you read in English as, in the beginning was the Word, you need to read as, in the beginning I am the Word. In the beginning the Word I am with God. In the beginning the Word I am God. It's that ego, ego is the pref or the noun that comes before it, but the I me is the verb of was. You see it as was. But in the Jewish mind, Ego I me is I am. And so when we read this, it kind of loses its luster in English because was is just a past tense verb to us. I was at the store yesterday. I was outside yesterday. I was at church today. Not super great words. Okay, like, wow, that's really not that impressive. It's simple for us. In the Jewish mind, in the Greek understanding, in the Hebrew connective parallel of it, it's huge. So, we have confidence, looking at John chapter 1, that how do we know that Jesus was eternally existent and eternally God? Well, John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we understand that as, in the beginning, it's the I Am. And He's the Word. And verse 14 clarifies, who is that Word? He's the one that adds flesh and comes to dwell among us.